side. This morning I'm going to speak to you about Dead or Alive. No, nee, this is not a cowboy movie. Sien al die manne is klaar soos. Okay, Dead or Alive. What a sermon topic, I think. Okay, so, you know, scripture is quite clear that life and death is in the tongue. And that we many times choose which one we actually have in our lives, whether we have life or whether we have death. And a couple of weeks back, I was reading this portion of scripture in John and just seeing Jesus' interaction with Martha and Mary, you know, with Lazarus that just died. And as I read through that portion of scripture, there was so much that spoke to me. And just actually watching Jesus', you know, the way that the things that he says was like, hello. You know, if I was to say stuff like that to you or do what he did, you would probably be hugely offended with the pastor. How can he do that? How can he not preach? Excuse me. So I want us just to explore. So this morning I'm going to read a bit of scripture. And I want you just to be patient because there's a lot in the scripture. If I read this much, then I have to put on the goggles so that I can just see better. But I'm going to read so long. Say, now a certain man was ill. Say a certain man. All right, so his name was Lazarus of Bethany. Say Bethany. All right, that's an important clue where Bethany is. Okay, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with anointment. And wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. Now listen, so the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now check Jesus' response here. I mean, come on. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. So when you come see the pastor, he's just going to tell you this illness does not lead to death, and not pitch further. Okay, say, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, look at his response. He stayed two more days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, interesting to see what Jesus does here. He gets the news, Lazarus is ill. So it's almost like he's going, yo, Lazarus, no man, you ill man, take it like a man. I'll see you later. At least that's what I read. It's like, okay, now he's ill. Don't worry about it. This illness will not lead to death. This is for the glory of God. And then he does the strangest thing in that he stays two more days where he is. It's not like he jumped up and responded and ran there and said, oh, no worries, Lazarus, I'm here. So it seems like his perspective of the situation is a bit different than what Mary and Martha's was, what Lazarus's was. See, he looked at the situation, and the first thing that he saw was the purpose of God. He saw the illness, he saw the problem, and he identified that this has the purpose of God all written all over it. Why? For the Son of Man to be glorified. Even to the extent where he did not respond out of urgency or anything, it's like he waited. He had, let's make sure the Son of Man is glorified. So I'm going to wait two more days. I'm just going to hang out just to make sure. So that no one can say, oh, but he just made it. Strange. So next time when you phone the pastor, please be patient. He might see the greater purposes of God. I don't know. And when he went so that the Son of God will be glorified. So even in that, there was purpose in him going. Now, when he went, He actually had no regard for his own safety, because if we continue reading in verse 8, he says, his disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again. Now, many of us will not go into a situation if we know that we are about to get stoned. Okay? Or if you're in Cape Town, you might get shot. Okay? They throw lead bullets, lead rocks around here if you go to the Cape Flats and so on. But let's imagine you were there yesterday preaching the gospel. They tried to kill you, and now a couple of days later you say, no, okay, listen, let's go back there. Sounds like an awesome idea. I mean, let's tempt fate. I might see heaven. So I can understand his disciples' response here is, yo, Rabbi, seriously, I mean, come on. They just tried to stone you. And he's like, Jesus answered. Now, watch his answer. I mean, come on. Jesus is so interesting to me sometimes in the way that he responds to what people ask him. So in this, learn the lesson that is probably going to do the same to you. Okay? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. Okay, so watch his response. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. The light's external. That's what he's saying. Okay? After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him. So, his disciples' perspective of the situation, when they looked at this and they realized now he wants to go there, their perspective was what have recently happened to him. Their response to Jesus is like, but you just were just about to get stoned here. Why do you want to do this? So they were looking in the physical, and then Jesus says, Nema vachabiki, if you walk in the day, you will know what you're doing. He says, if you walk in the light of this world, if you walk in the understanding of this world, there's a difference. You see, because he references it with the darkness, which says, the light is not in you. And he refers to the scripture in John 8, verse 12. He says, and again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So their perspective here, and you'll see it throughout this whole thing, is from the physical. But Jesus has this eternal perspective that he is actually looking into the situation. And he says, but listen, you've got a choice in which light you are actually walking here. You can try and walk in this light of your understanding, or you can walk in me, the light of life. I am the light of the world. I am the true light. I'm the only source. The only one that if you connect with me, you will know what you need to do. You will know where you're going to walk, etc. And then he responds to their respond. By the last verse there, he says, after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen, but I will go and awake him. So immediately, he brings them back to his perspective in that, nobody's just sleeping, man. Let's just go sort this out quickly. I'm just going to go there and wake him up. Why? Because his perspective of the situation is way different than the disciples. They're looking at the situation and they're seeing, but he's going to get stoned. And then if you read further in verse 14, you have to love Thomas. Amen. It says, Jesus told him plainly. Now Jesus responds to the situation. Okay, acknowledges the situation. He says, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, now again, what does he bring in? God's perspective. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there. What? Why? So that you may believe. then check Thomas. Hey. But let us go with him. So Thomas said, Thomas called the twin, which in other Bibles is Didymus, if you've ever heard that word, which also means twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may see, that we may die with him." You can recognize that Thomas was really full of faith. You know, I didn't read this. You know, we all know Thomas, and just wanting to poke his fingers and let show me that is you. I never saw this previously, but when I read this, I was like, yes, Thomas. Yeah, he's a legend, bro. I mean, all he wanted to do is see. At least he was there. I mean, he wanted to go wrong for the wrong reasons, to die. But at least he was willing to go. There's people that are not willing to go to die with Jesus. At least he was going, okay, let's go. Let's die with him. Let's just do this. I would love to meet him and just go, what are you, Bill? What gaan in jou kop? Love to have a chat to him. Okay, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb how long? 4 days. Would you say Jesus is late? From the disciples' perspective, from everybody's, we can say yes. No, we know he was not late because we've read the Bible. But if you were there, if you were there and you got to Bethany and he's 4 days in a tomb, do you know what happens to your body after you've died and you're in like a humid place for 4 days? We just watched Mythbusters this week and they wanted to bust a myth in that someone can die in a car and stay there for 2 months and they can clean up the car and there will be no smell or anything. So what they did is they took two pigs and they strapped them into the car, put the car in a container and left it there for 2 months. They could not clean the car and get all the smell out. So I can imagine with Lazarus having been in the tomb now for 4 days, it could have been funky. Very interesting, I tell you. Okay, Bethany was near Jerusalem, okay, about 2 miles. 2 miles is about 3.2 kilometers. So it's a nice brisk walk. Huh? Come on. For some of us, it will probably be less brisk than for the others, like me. I might have paramedic standby on the road. But in any case, so it was 3.2 kilometers. Now think of this in the light of Jesus' response when Mary and Martha came to him or sent a message to him that the one that you love is ill. 3.2 kilometers between him and Lazarus. 3.2 kilos that he could quite easily have covered in a morning, healed him, and came back. Yet he decided to stay 2 days. Now by the time he gets there, Lazarus is in the tomb already 4 days. 4 days of funkiness. You see, again, let me just see this quickly. Again in the scripture, like I said, Jesus, even though he recognizes that Lazarus died, he invites them into God's perspective. Because it's so that you may believe. Now, many times in your life and my life, we will have situations where we need to allow God to do stuff so that we can believe. So that we can grow in faith. So that we can be the men and women of God that we should be. And one of the major tools that God uses in our lives is these things that happen to you. And so many times, I don't know how many of you have said this, God, oops, I think you're too late. You know, this thing went pear-shaped, sorry. It's not going to work anymore. I've done it. Just with my journey of getting into ministry, you know. Just took God 20 years to do it, but there was stages where I said, ach nee, Here, this is never going to happen. I think you missed this one. That boat there sailed. Okay? So we, like Thomas, although we're following Christ, we are saying, man, let's just go along to see what happens and die with him if required. But actually in our hearts, there is no faith. Although he's even speaking to us these words, these powerful words that, listen, I'm glad I wasn't there just so that you can see what happens and believe. Just to allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. No, 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 we're not there. We just want to go along and die. We don't see the problem or the situation or even your life from God's perspective. You see, because from this we can even see that it's clear that God has this plan. And he's continually inviting them, saying, no, no, wach, don't look at this, look at this. Can you see it from my perspective? Not yours. So in verse 20, he says, so when Martha, now look at this. Who was the one that Jesus said, you know, Martha, Martha, you're always just busy, 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 doing stuff, you know, doing stuff. Now, isn't it interesting? So when we get here, he says, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary what did what? She remained at the house. Very interesting to me. Who's the one that's responding now? So for me, Martha learned something last time. Martha learned something last time now, not to be busy, not to be, let me be with Jesus. He rebuked me, and now I've listened. Yet Mary is sitting in the house, okay? Martha said to Jesus, now this you must listen carefully to. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Wow. Powerful statement. Just that statement already is very powerful. Jesus said to her, look at this. This is interesting. Your brother will rise again. Okay. Good stuff. Mary says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she goes, yeah, I know. We all will meet, you know, with God one day. We'll be there. We'll be in his presence. This is awesome. I know that, Jesus. Thank you. Okay, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now, we quote this portion of Scripture a lot, right? We all know this portion of Scripture. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So, okay, come on, let's go. She said to him, yes, Lord. Look at his response. The response is so beautiful. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Just there, she recognizes Jesus Christ in all his power and majesty. And someone is buying pizza. Yes, hallelujah. So again, Martha comes to Jesus. At least she came to him. She's like, Jesus, my brother has died. What does she do? She relates to him again from her perspective. Oops, sorry. 4 days in the tomb. You're late. She's not going to. Although, even in that response that she acknowledges the fact that there's, you know, her brother has died, she says, but I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Why can she say that? Because she has seen him done numerous miracles in and around him. So she knows that Jesus is powerful and he can do things, but she does not believe that he can raise Lazarus from the dead. Now there's a clue, guys. There's a clue right there. Because your journey with God, he has done things in your life up to this day. But you haven't seen him raise the dead yet. You haven't seen him come through you for you in a way that he hasn't done before. But you see, you're relating to him from your perspective of things that has happened in the past. Now you're saying, yes, yes, no, I know, I've seen this happen before. You can do this, but not this. And he says to her, listen, can I just tell you that I am the resurrection and the life? That is the only reason why you will actually even raise later. The source of the life is with you right now. And your brother will rise again. So again, he brings her into his perspective. Again, he says to her, no, wait a minute. I am the resurrection and life. See it from my perspective. It is never too late. Then, in that scripture, if we jump to verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And then Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, excuse me, Lord, by this time, there is an odor. It is stinking. For it has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So again, they've just had this amazing conversation about what is about to happen. About Jesus saying to her, listen, I am the resurrection. And they come to the tomb. Isn't that so typical of us? Hardkoppig man. You know, sometimes I think there's a problem between what we hear the Spirit of God saying and this brain thing that's supposed to just compute what he's saying. But until this happens, you cannot necessarily see that. So Martha responds again from the natural point of view that he's dead, he's thinking. It's not a good idea to move that stone. Think it's better, Jesus, just let sleeping dogs lie. This is okay. We said goodbye. Cheers, Lazarus. We'll see you in heaven at the resurrection. And it's like Jesus turns to her and says, but listen, whoa, perspective here, girl. Perspective. What are you seeing? You see, and he's having this conversation with her before Lazarus is raised. In other words, they're standing in front of this tomb. The breakthrough has not come. Nothing has changed. He is still in the tomb. And Jesus says, wait. It is going to happen. I am the resurrection. And he says to her the strange thing. You would see what... did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So again, he's inviting her in. Into a life of faith. He's saying, come on, Martha, come on. You know, I got you now not to sit still and be busy in the house, you know, and be busy with other stuff. You're now here with me. Come, let me draw you into a deeper walk in faith. Come, this is phase two, next level of your faith. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And then we know, he raises Lazarus from the dead. But I can imagine Jesus standing and they roll that stone away and 4 days of rotting comes charging out. Now, I've worked with a lot of sewage in my life. It's not death. But I know death is not sewage and it smells different. But man, if it's anything like that, I saw big men run in my life because of smell. So I can imagine they're standing in front of this tomb and that smell comes out and they're going, what? Yo, see you later, Jesus. I'm out of here. And in the midst of that reality and everything that is overwhelming, Jesus says, no, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And then he goes, Lazarus, comes forth. And they were reunited with their brother, restored. So what do we take from this? I think the biggest thing that I want you to hear is to know and understand God's perspective. What is God busy doing in your life, through your life, around your life at the moment? Are you looking at things from your perspective, or are you recognizing his perspective? So in every circumstance, identify the purpose of God. So when you meet this thing, when this news comes to you, when this thing happens to you, recognize the purposes of God in your life. Just go sit still and say, what is happening here? This is not cool that's happening to me, but God, what is your purposes in this thing? Then the second response should be, do not panic. Do not run around in haste. You know, like a kop of hoener. Just trying to, making your plans. Wait 2 more days. You know how hard that is for the flesh? Now, obviously, in certain circumstances, there's wisdom on how we need to proceed and do things. I'm not saying drop everything and wait 2 days. This is not the word of the Lord in your life, that whatever circumstance comes your way, wait 2 days. This is not what I'm saying. I can now see all of you going, I'll wait 2 days and another 4 so that it can rot properly. Hey guys, but just check your response when God is actually busy working in your life. Then wait so that the Son of Man will be glorified in your life. Because ultimately, your life is not your own anymore, right? You've given your life to Christ. And then don't be like Thomas. Allow past moments with God to grow your faith. Because Thomas had this moment. And yet, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he had another moment. So allow God to teach you stuff through the stuff you're going through now. 4 days in the tomb does not mean that it is too late. You've heard the saying that God is never too late. And it's true. He's always on time. Even though it looks like nuts to us. 4 days in a tomb to us would have been too late. Allow Christ to enlarge your faith. Allow him to use these things to enlarge your faith. And here Jesus said to you, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And then the last thing is now believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is not almost impossible. It is impossible to please him without faith. And in your journey, in your life with God, allow him to minister to you. Go sit with the Master and hear what he says to you at this time. What he is busy doing. Allow him to communicate to you how he wants to glorify himself in and through your life, even through your circumstances. What does he want to do? Amen.